Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. If you haven't noticed, the world has gone insane, morally insane. And this is what has been prophesied, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they all may be judged. And how great is that delusion? And in that text, we read that God will temporarily suspend his normal work of restraining sinners so that evil will proliferate in order that evil is exposed and then evil judges itself. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. God will remove his restraint at the end of this age. If you don't know these prophecies about the end of the church age, which most conservatives really don't know, you'll not truly understand what's happening in this world. You know, it's one thing when we read about this in our Bibles, it's a whole other thing when we see it unfolding before us. Prophecy can be quite academic and cerebral until we have to live through it. Then it's a real faith builder. Well, to make the point, just some quick commentary here. In the New Jersey gubernatorial debates, the Democrat Phil Murphy laid into the Republican Jack Cittarelli because the Democrats caught Cittarelli saying to a group of parents that we should not teach our elementary school students sodomy. Cittarelli was commenting on the immoral LGBT curriculum that was put together by LGBT groups and mandated in New Jersey public schools. So Governor Murphy is disgusted and indignant, saying, how could Cittarelli call any LGBTQ behavior sodomy? To call it sodomy is a dog whistle for the radical right, and that his comments should disqualify Cittarelli from being governor. You know, sodomizing a person used to be a crime. Now we have the governor of New Jersey openly approving of sodomy, not just approving of it, but calling anyone who's against it evil, saying that you can't be the governor of New Jersey unless you believe in sodomy. Murphy even believes children should have a positive view of sodomy. Well, that's Romans chapter 1, verse 32. They not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. You know, in 21st century America, we are truly living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Luke chapter 17, verse 29, but on that day, when Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. So the world has completely given itself over to a satanic anti-God ideology. I'm hearing so many firsthand accounts of school boards and businesses and universities going woke, fully embracing and pushing the LGBTQ, transgenderism, the erasure of gender, communism. I'm hearing of teachers at Rutgers openly indoctrinating students into this new way of thinking. This has become America's new religion, and the universities are behind this indoctrination because the universities are the church of secular humanism. You know, 30 years ago, I got a degree from Rutgers. It was liberal, but it wasn't this bad. Here's an article. France rejects America's woke culture. Cover story in Le Spectacle du Monde, one of France's leading magazines, ran a piece recently entitled The Suicide of America, in which it blames the deadly withdrawal from Afghanistan on a woke dictatorship in America and questioned whether America's empire is collapsing. The article goes on to say that woke culture is also radicalizing France, and this is something very dangerous and doesn't belong in France. Now, France and the entire Western world is just as leftist as the United States, but I bring up that article because I'm hearing from many people outside the United States asking, what's happening in America? Well, the answer is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, the apostasy. the rebellion that must come first before the man of sin is revealed. And Satan's main target is likely to be the most powerful nation on earth when he releases a horde of demons to infect mankind with the doctrines of demons. He's going to send them first to America, because a Christian America would be one of Satan's greatest obstacles. Well, those are just two anecdotal news articles. On this week's program, I want to encourage you with the truth that God is soon going to reestablish his authority on earth. I've spoken about this in the past, but to say the same thing again is no trouble for me and is a safeguard for you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. God is going to have a great reset. And I have this on the authority of the biblical prophets. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 21. For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Micah chapter 1, verse 3. For behold, the Lord is coming forth from his place. He will come down and tread on high the places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will be split like wax before the fire, like water poured down a steep place. Now, in the New Testament, the word of encouragement for God's people is 2 Thessalonians 1:7, that we will be relieved of affliction when the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Or 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, fix your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But you say, wait a minute, all of those promises were 2,000 years ago. Where's the God of justice? Well, though the mills of God grind slowly, they grind exceedingly small. Though with patience he stands waiting, with exactness grinds he all. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Remember, it was the post-exilic Jews who, seeing all the evils in the ancient empires surrounding them, who said, where is the God of justice? And God said, you are wearying the Lord with your words of faithlessness and doubt. And God responded to them in Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And then it goes on in Matthew chapter 4, for behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. The day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts. God is coming. Another interesting text is Jude 14. The first prophet, Enoch, was saying all this back in 4000 BC, even before the great Noahic flood, Jude 14. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all. Well, it's clear that Jude is speaking about the coming of the Messiah in glory. But why is he using the past tense? He writes, the Lord came, not the Lord is coming. Well, it's a figure of language called the prophetic past. The event is so sure that we can speak of it as having already taken place. So do we have that kind of faith? So we see the kingdom of God as a completed event. The Lord is coming to reestablish his authority over this earth. And I want to see the coming of the day of God from that perspective. He is coming to reestablish his authority to take possession of the earth. And that's the point in the book of the Revelation. Revelation 11, 17, we give thanks to you, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Now, of course, in a sense, God is always in authority. His authority does not need to be reestablished. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. But even the scriptures still say that Jesus has not fully taken his authority. He's not fully reigning. all things have not been yet put under his feet, 1 Corinthians 15:25. So we're living in a transition time where for a few thousand years, which is a blip on the screen of eternity, sin is allowed to exist in God's universe. But God is about to do a great reset. And we will look at that in a moment. God has done many resets throughout human history, but a final reset is coming soon. Now, I'm using this contemporary slogan, the Great Reset, because it describes perfectly the prophecy. When the wickedness of this world reaches a great climax, God is going to set things right again. Evil will be destroyed, righteousness will rule. That's the promise. And I'm referring to God's work as the Great Reset because that's the language world leaders are using to describe their own plan. Namely, at the recent World Economic Forum at Davos, they believe that they're going to enact a great secular humanist reset, change the world into a globalist totalitarian state. But God has his own reset, which will defeat their reset. God's kingdom will crush and put an end to all of these kingdoms. Daniel chapter 2. Now, if you track this stuff, you know that alarm bells went off in conservative circles when the theme of the 2021 World Economic Forum was the Great Reset. That because of COVID, the world needs to come together in globalism to reorder social and economic priorities. This is all based on a paper written by Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum, and all of the business leaders and politicians loved it. Schwab is a major world influencer. He is Henry Kissinger's protege. He's a far-left atheist, of course. The bottom line of this movement is that by using the COVID pandemic, leaders from around the world can accelerate social change. That they can use the pandemic to change political and economic structures in this world. And it's clear that they're talking about socialism, communism, globalism. They've been working on these social changes for years, but now they're being encouraged to use certain events such as the global warming crisis or the COVID-19 crisis to speed up those changes, even to the point of exaggerating those threats. Biden and the Democrats, they have the Build Back Better campaign. And it's the exact same thing as the Great Reset philosophy, but relabeling it for American voters. Check out this montage of world leaders jumping on the Great Reset, the Build Back Better campaign.
It's a very pertinent question to ask, how do we build back better?
To build back better or whatever.
We have a chance to reset the clock and build back better than before.
To build back better than before.
Remember the terrible damage of COVID as we try to build back from this global pandemic.
Joe Biden calls it Build Back Better.
Build Back Better.
Building Back Better.
To do things differently. To build back better.
We're going to build it back better.
And build it back better.
My plan to build back better.
Start taking all the problems that have been created in education and mental health and start to build back in a positive way.
I have launched a booklet called Build Back Better, Britain After Coronavirus.
It's about building this country back better.
Growing conspiracy following it. It is called the Great Reset.
An unprecedented opportunity to rethink and reset the ways in which we live.
The great opportunity for reset.
The theory even calls Mr. Biden's campaign slogan, Build Back Better, a front for the conspiracy.
Build Back Better.
Building Back Better, our economy.
Build Back Better.
All elements of the Great Reset are fundamental to building the future we need.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset.
It's a big effort to, some would say, to build back better. We would say to really have a great reset.
Conspiracy.
Well, this great reset slogan is just another title for the UN's totalitarian Agenda 21 philosophy that started in the 1990s. But again, what's unique about the Great Reset and the rhetoric is that the goal is to inspire world leaders to use the COVID pandemic to accelerate leftist policies. Specifically, the change that Schwab was preaching in his paper was that business leaders should not just value shareholders, but stakeholders. In other words, value the entire society. So businesses should get political, businesses should influence politics, whereas the old school way of doing business was to just make your product and leave ethics and politics to others. And this new philosophy is why so many companies are becoming woke and hiring diversity and equity coordinators. The left wants to get businesses on their side. And Schwab's ideology is the excuse and the justification that they were looking for to put pressure on businesses to be socially responsible and get with the new spirit of the age. You're not considered good business and you're targeted unless you go woke and support the social justice policies of the left. And this is called a better kind of capitalism. Companies are no longer considered economic units. They are, quote, to fulfill human and societal aspirations, environmentalism, socialism, to support the increase in the size of government, to support higher taxes, and of course, to support globalism, open borders. And companies are now being judged, not just on the bottom line, but on how woke the company is being. Companies are being rated accordingly. So Schwab is a real totalitarian. He has called for electronic IDs for every person on Earth, linked to people's bank accounts, their health records, their online activity. He believes in government surveillance, social credit scores, the elimination of currency. He believes we need global solutions for global problems, a one-world government. Schwab writes, "The pandemic expresses a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. To achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts to working conditions. Every country from the United States to China must participate. And every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism." And we know what he's talking about. Socialism, communism, totalitarianism, under the label of the Great Reset. Ben Shapiro, in his new book, The Authoritarian Moment, references Schwab as the poster child for this movement toward a one-world government and socialistic totalitarianism. Bill Gates and other billionaires are also on board with this program. Conservative sites and think tanks have been reporting on this for quite a while. Just do the research. Let me just read this piece, just to give you a sense of the concern. It's just quicker for me to read this to you than to put into my own words. This is an article from the American Institute for Economic Research. At any anti-lockdown protests, you will see signs that say, "Stop the Great Reset." The New York Times calls this phrase a baseless conspiracy theory. Here's the problem. None of this is secret. There are books you can read about it and detailed websites describing it. Time magazine did a cover story. It's the title of the World Economic Forum's head, Klaus Schwab's book on the lockdowns in the future. It was published July 9th, 2020, and now has nearly 900 reviews on Amazon. Proponents of the Great Reset argue that the pandemic proves our former society doesn't work. So we need a tech-focused, sustainable future to reduce emissions and thereby save the planet. The Great Reset is a rebranding, tightening up version of the UN's decade-old Sustainable Development Agenda, Agenda 21. The same policies and ideas are contained in the Green New Deal, which was defeated in 2019 in the U.S. Congress. It bears repeating. 6 months before SARS-CoV-2 was discovered by China, the UN and the World Economic Forum signed a strategic relationship specifically to advance the Sustainable Development Agenda, now known as the Great Reset. You can read about this partnership online. Schwab now predicts that the COVID-19 pandemic, which he says will last at least until 2022, will mark the final death knell of neoliberalism, the old way of doing business that favors competition, small government, and decentralized power. Schwab's preferred system is China under Xi Jinping. How long has Schwab known that a pandemic could be used to advance his ideals? A while, if his publications and planning exercises are any indication. His book, COVID-19, The Great Reset, contains lengthy discourses on how pandemics are known agents for major societal shifts. He asks, why should COVID-19 be any different? Then there are the fact that Schwab's organization practiced a high-level pandemic exercise in October of 2019, less than 5 months before COVID-19 came along. The World Economic Forum co-sponsors for this event were Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, both of which have actively promoted 2020's unprecedented pandemic response. As Imperial College London's Neil Ferguson recently explained, lockdowns were not recommended by any government until Xi Jinping of China changed what was possible by proclaiming, "This works for us in China." This extraordinarily fortuitously timed pandemic, their planned exercise, made Schwab look like something of an oracle. Indeed, he openly brags about his foresight. For years, international organizations like the World Health Organization, WHO, institutions like the World Economic Forum, and the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, CEPI, which was launched at the annual meeting in 2017 in Davos, and individuals like Bill Gates have been warning us about the next pandemic risk, even specifying that it would emerge in highly populated places where economic development forces people and wildlife together, would spread quickly and silently by exploiting human networks of travel and trade, and would reach multiple countries by thwarting containment. In 2017, Anthony Fauci made a similar prediction, declaring that there is no doubt that Donald Trump will be confronted with a pandemic before the end of his term. Like Schwab, Fauci actively promotes lockdowns. Like Schwab, he declares that we can never return to normal. If we do, we should expect disease to constantly jump from animals to humans, because pandemics have never happened until 2020, when the world grew too industrialized. To save ourselves, we must redesign society in harmony with nature. Both Fauci's and Schwab's writings are littered with terms like sustainability, inclusiveness, green, nature, harmony, unquote, the American Institute for Economic Research. And by the way, these totalitarian ideologues have been saying for quite some time that the only way they can sell their program to the masses is to make it about saving the earth, because people are interested in ecology. So for them, the CO2 crisis and the pandemic are issues to be exploited. So there are hundreds of articles similar warning the public about the Great Reset and encourage you to look into them. And it's because of these statements coming out of the World Economic Forum and the UN that many conservative pundits are saying that the response to COVID-19 by politicians is just about control and power. And that sounds ridiculous at first, because on its face, it seems like the politicians and the business leaders, you know, want to help people medically. But then you start reading what some of these world leaders are actually saying about using the coronavirus to push broader economic and social controls. And so these conspiracy theories are not so crazy. And it's not a conspiracy if they tell you what they're going to do. So here's a question. Are Democrat politicians enacting COVID policies, lockdowns, masks, vaccine mandates, firing the unvaccinated to push a globalist agenda? Well, not directly. But they do have these globalist ideas running in the back of their minds when making COVID policy. They also like to use issues to further their political ends. And they also are talking about the Great Reset. If COVID can help them achieve their political ends, so be it. Back in the spring, Biden had a $1.9 trillion COVID relief package. And we know it had very little to do with medical help, but it funded all sorts of leftist, socialist wish lists. And the current $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill, which is being pushed because they say we need to build back the economy from COVID, is funding all sorts of new socialist programs which have nothing to do with the virus or the economy. So you wonder why conservatives are suspicious of COVID hysteria. Political leaders, business leaders, Hollywood are using the crisis to push their broader socialist agenda because they believe that the socialist agenda will fix all of world problems, including COVID-19. Now, my take on this is this is not happening because of the ideological leaders at Davos. This is already the spirit of the age, the spirit that's already working in the sons of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it's coming and now is already in the world. And this is the mystery of iniquity that God has been restraining. This movement by world leaders to create a globalist, one-world socialist totalitarian government has been going on for quite some time. James Warburg, a banker, the son of the founder of the Federal Reserve, said, "We shall have a one-world government, whether or not you like it, by consent or conquest." Prince Philip of England, a major globalist, said in 1988, "In the event that I am reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus to solve the overpopulation problem in the world." You know, these globalists actually want to eliminate people because leftism is the culture of death. They get that spirit from their father, the devil. David Rockefeller said, "We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis and the nations will accept the new world order." But these ideas coming from the elites and the World Economic Forum would fail if it weren't for the paganism of the general population. It's the people who want these things. All of fallen humanity generates these ideas. And they heap to themselves leaders in accordance with their own desires. 2 Timothy 4. If Klaus Schwab had never been born and had never written the Great Reset, we'd pretty much have the same policy today. Because it's not just Schwab, but millions of social leaders across the world who think this way. Schwab and the World Economic Forum are just reflecting what the world already is. Schwab isn't one guy making the world evil. He is just a representative of how the evil world already thinks. This is the spirit of the age. The Great Rebellion, spoken about in 2 Thessalonians 2 and in Psalm chapter 2. Even Schwab in his book says the Great Reset, it's not that COVID-19 will directly cause permanent change to society, but rather the pandemic will accelerate the change that was already underway. Now, my take on this is that although they're trying to use global warming and now the pandemic to accelerate this new world order, it's not going to succeed. It will push the ball further into their court, but it will not be the key crisis. My take is that according to Revelation chapter 6, the big crisis that they're looking for that will usher in the new world order is going to be World War III. That's when the apocalypse begins, the Antichrist rises to power, when someone comes forth taking peace from the earth. This is when the totalitarian globalists are able to see their plan come to fruition. And along with the scripture, there are all sorts of historic and social reasons to support that view. But here's my point, and this is the encouragement. While the world thinks that it's going to enact a great humanist reset, God is the one who's actually going to reset the world in righteousness. Their reset will fail because God's reset will defeat their reset. In fact, God is going to use their own reset to defeat them. The strong delusion that is coming upon them is so that they would lose, not win. They will be destroyed by their own policies. They will do it to themselves. Now, don't misunderstand. For a while, God will allow the wicked to attempt to reset the world. It will look like they're succeeding. God will allow the Antichrist to come to power. But he's doing so to judge the world and hence bring in his great reset. These world leaders are going down. When they say peace and safety, when they think all is well, sudden destruction will come upon them and they will not escape. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. So God laughs at them. And we can laugh at them also because we see that their day is coming. Psalm chapter 37, verse 12. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Psalm chapter 2, the kings of the earth, they take their stand. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. So don't fret or fear these people, the Great Reset, the New World Order. Just continue to warn people about the direction of this world as a tool for witnessing and to disciple Christians to prepare them for what's to come. But be assured that these world leaders and their plans will be destroyed. That's our message. God will always reestablish his authority. He has a great reset coming. So let's cover the biblical teaching on this. Adam and Eve in the garden, they sinned. God reestablishes authority by cursing the earth and by bringing upon mankind the sentence of death. 1600 years after God created Adam and Eve, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and Genesis 6, 11. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God moved to reassert his authority to stop evil. And did he ever? He destroyed the entire earth, saved only Noah and his family, and then from then on, man's lifespan was shortened. But then after a few centuries, the people of the earth tried to build a centralized one world government, Genesis chapter 11. But God reestablishes authority and he hindered sin in the world by confusing the languages and dividing the people up into nation states. Because when an elite group of people consolidate power, the result is always evil and the persecution of the righteous. The wicked are empowered by the monopolization of resources. So God reestablishes authority at Babel. He stopped evil. That was a big reset. And, you know, the globalists hated God ever since for that. Then Abraham is called to found a nation to represent God to this world. And that was a reset, a hindering of sin. And through that nation would come the great reset, the Messiah, the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. After God chose Abraham to found a nation, sin in that particular region was proliferating. We read in Genesis chapter 18 and 19, the cities of Sodom were engaged in homosexuality right there in the Middle East. And so God reestablishes authority by making an example of Sodom, pouring down upon it fire and brimstone. Did that really reestablish God's authority in this world? Did the other nations hear about that story? Did it put the other nations in check and give other people fear of God and a respect for natural law? Well, it most certainly did. But given the wickedness of mankind, that reset didn't last long. God said that the whole region of the Middle East would need to be judged once the iniquity of the Amorites was full. Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, which is a very interesting text. Now, God had been sending judgments on all the nations of this world, but in the Middle East, there needed to be special localized judgments because sin there would threaten God's program through Israel. Now, as we read in the book of Acts, for most of the nations of the world, God did not supernaturally intervene. God let them do their own thing, maybe even letting the natural consequences of sin be their judgment. Note this text, Acts chapter 14, verse 16. In the generations gone by, God permitted all nations to go their own way. Now, sounds like a Fleetwood Mac song, doesn't it? Well, this probably means that God did not deal with them as he dealt with Israel. He let the Gentile nations simply reap the consequences of their own sin, resulting in their eventual own self-destruction. But for Israel, Amos chapter 3, verse 2, you only I have chosen from all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all of your iniquities. And so we see God continually reestablishing his authority in Israel to keep the nation in check so that the elect of God would be protected and so that the word of God and the Messiah could come through the nation of Israel. We see the miraculous judgments upon Pharaoh in that Pharaoh tried to thwart the purposes of God. God reestablished his authority over all of Egypt, showing them that he was in charge. Then in the wilderness wanderings, the miraculous judgments that fell upon the unbelieving Jews. Once in the land of Canaan, we see God reestablishing his authority by raising up judges, using men like Samson to put down the power of the Philistines. Then God raised up the miracle-working prophets, Elijah and Elisha. We see how the famine in northern Israel and the showdown on Mount Carmel took down the administration of Ahab and Jezebel. And God raised up King Jehu to kill Jezebel and all the prophets of Baal. But Israel continued in sin. God raised up the Babylonians to invade Israel and purge the wicked out of the nation. The Jews returned to the land. They rebuilt the city and the temple. But in a few decades, the nation was back to sinning again. So God raised up the Roman Empire to once again humble and purge Israel. Then came the Great Reset, the coming of the Messiah, the Apostolic Age, the miracles, and the scriptures of the New Covenant were given. And this brought light to the nations and pushed back the darkness. Imagine the social effect on the Greek cities of Asia Minor when the Christians healed everyone in the city of Ephesus, Acts chapter 19. Imagine how the wicked today would be silenced and secularism would be discredited if the Christian church started cleaning out the hospitals with miraculous healings. In Acts chapter 12, God struck down Herod Agrippa I. No wonder the text says that the word of the Lord continued to grow and multiply. Don't underestimate God's power to at any moment strike down wicked leaders and change the whole mindset of a society. The revivals in America, the Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening, was the work of God's Spirit saving souls and resetting the culture. But now we see at the end of the church age, the world has returned to paganism. The 20th century was the century of secular humanism. And now it's time for another reset. If you were to draw an XY graph, put on the Y-axis levels of righteousness, put on the X-axis time, the graph would look like a seismograph. The line would go down, then the Noahic flood would come about and the line would spike up. Then gradually, the morality of the people would go down. But then you have the Tower of Babel and the line would spike up again. You know, the world has been going downhill since the creation, but God has intervened along the way to keep the world going. Because if it weren't for God's intervention, the world would self-destruct. But you ask, if God can intervene at any time, why doesn't he intervene more? Doesn't God see the wickedness? Psalm chapter 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. Well, the reason for this, and the reason why God doesn't intervene all the time, is that we have to admit that God's people need to see the examples of sin. God leaves sinners in the world to teach those who are to be saved. The prodigal son had to have a far country to go into to waste his father's money, so he would learn and come to his senses. Isaiah 26:9. For when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. So everything that's happening right now is designed to bring in a harvest of souls for the kingdom of Christ. And with what's happening, the line is being drawn in the sand. People are going to have to make a decision for or against Christ. And the social political environment is making that decision quite clear. So we know that sin does not continue on for very long. God just uses it as a teaching tool. And God will soon reestablish his authority. Our only question is this. Is what we are seeing right now in the world, leading up to that final reestablishment of God's authority, the day of the Lord? Is the proliferation of sin in the world right now the prophesied final proliferation of sin? Where the biblical prophets tell us that at the end of this age, God will remove his restraint and delay his usual reset, so that the sin of man comes to a climax, so the whole world will see where the sin of man leads, and so that the world will judge itself with its own moral insanity or immoral insanity. Well, there have been many bad times through the history of the church age, but given the global nature of the current run on sin, the satanic ideology of it, the current rebellion against natural law, the technology, the raising up of Israel, it sure looks like we're close to the end. And that God's next reset will be the big reset, the day of the Lord and the coming of Christ. So thank you for listening today. Thank you for including God and Country as one part of your discipleship in the Word. Don't forget to subscribe, to share, to like, to leave a comment below. I've just opened up a Gab account under my own personal name, B. Winship. I plan to post links to this program on that account just to make it easier for people on Gab to share it, just like I post to Facebook. You may want to subscribe to Gab. It was started by a Christian man. Flipping through the trending posts or the tweets or whatever they're called on the front page can be quite informative. Well, until next week, as always, may Jesus Christ reign.